Morning, everyone. We're a few minutes behind if you're online watching us. And the study guides can be found on the website, a couple places, under staying connected to God's Word link. Or if you get our weekly email, there's a link to the study guides there as well. We're going to be focusing on the attachment that talks about how to study the Bible. That's the main heading, how to study the Bible. There are several pages front and back connected to that. Four pages stapled together. Just a quick review then, what we've been talking about the last few weeks and how to interpret the Bible leading up to how do we study the Bible. And some key principles to keep in mind, one of them being let Scripture interpret Scripture. What we mean by that is letting the original languages speak, the immediate context, then looking to the wider context as well, and how to take sections of Scripture, letting clearer passages shed light on more difficult passages. And then also trying to understand, are we talking in a figurative section of Scripture, poetry section, is it meant to be, symbolic? Is it historical? Are we talking prescriptive passages or descriptive? Descriptive simply explaining the situation, giving the background, prescriptive something then that we are to be carrying on, like the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Other key principles then along those lines has to do with the doctrine of verbal inspiration, the fact that this is God's Word that we're dealing with, and we believe that His Word is true in every aspect of it, so it contains no errors and no unkept promises. And then along with that, the worldview, we've talked about that. What's your starting point? For us as Christians, our starting point is the Bible. So when it comes to creation, for example, there is no reason to take it other than what God has said and how this world came about, and it's logical. People ask, again, how did everything come about? Take them right there to Genesis 1 and 2. So worldview is important. Again, if you're in the world of science, apart from the Christian faith, your worldview starts with, well, things have to be at least 1 million, 5 million, 1 billion, 40 billion, whatever number we feel like today coming up with. There's no solid ground there, no certainty, because they have a faulty starting point. All right, so with all that in mind, we go then, how do we study the Bible? How can we take benefit from our time being in the Bible? So what it means to meditate on Scripture, that's the one we're looking at first. That's the first page it should be. It says lesson two on it. Ongoing renewal through God's Word, the building blocks of Lutheran meditation and Luther's method of meditation. Let's look at the Psalm, Psalm 119. It gives us some great advice. We read responsively, righteous are you, O Lord. The statutes you have laid down are righteous. My zeal wears me out. Your promises have been thoroughly tested. Though I am lowly and despised, your righteousness is everlasting. Trouble and distress have come upon me. Your statutes are ever, forever right. What's also neat about Psalm 119, the different words that are used to talk about the Word of God. And each has a specific meaning, which we won't get into now, but there's a reason for those words being selected as they are to explain, to expound the Word of God, where our focus is to be. Under the introduction, compare the Bible to other books on your bookshelf. What makes it, the Bible, different? The author, okay? What else makes those books different?
Their
It's God's Word, okay? And since the author and it's God's Word, what else can you point to that makes it different from the other books on our shelves? Cookbooks, mysteries, fact, fiction. It changes hearts, right? Something to live by, long term. It's concerned about your well-being overall, your physical. I mean, there are books on how to take care of your physical person and how to take care of your mind and this and that, what vitamins to take on this day and what vitamins to take on that day, and don't take that vitamin on this day. But, God's Word encompasses everything. Our physical, our emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being.
It was compiled over 3,000 years?
Yeah, 1,500 years. Yeah.
66 men.
Yeah.
And put them all together, it's still the same, centers on Christ. The whole thing is about
Him. Yep, the whole thing centers on Christ, even though God used multiple writers to record His Word for us. And that's, again, the importance of the doctrine of verbal inspiration. And we see how they all tie together. All those writers of the Bible tie it together to Christ. And again, for our well-being now and into eternity. So there are many differences that we can elaborate on and why that book is the important book. Now, which book too often gathers dust on the shelf? The Bible. Sometimes you got that family Bible, and they're big, and so they make good doorstops for some people. Was I looking at you on that one? No, they're not meant to be doorstops, not meant to gather dust. They're meant to be utilized. Now, you may have a nice Bible that you keep aside, in clean condition, but is there anything wrong with writing in a Bible? Writing notes and so forth? No. One of our prayers says, read, mark, inwardly digest. Mark it up. Highlight it. That's okay. It's meant to be digested in whatever way is best for you. Some people take notes. We'll get into some of those things as we go. So on the top of page 2, compare the time you spend reading the newspaper, novels, magazines, online, physical book, with how much time you spend reading the Bible. Do you find it hard to pick up the Bible and read it casually? Why or why not? Is it easier to pick up a non-biblical book than the Bible itself? Yeah. It can be. Yeah, you're right. Sometimes it's not meant to be a casual read in some respects, because it is going to knock us when we weren't expecting to be knocked, but it is encouragement. Again, you can read it casually, but it's thought-provoking. Sure, the baby food versus the meat and potatoes. The worldly stuff to your comparison is the baby food, and we are to get the meat and potatoes. And in Hebrews, we're encouraged, too, to get off the elementary and dig down deeper. Again, but that's all you got time for. That's one thing, because, again, whoever calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. But as we have opportunity, He wants us to dig deeper. A term that's been surfacing for some time. Some people, they look at Christianity, they just want to be on the surface. That's not dig down, because then we'll talk about stuff I really don't want to talk about. So let's just stay on the surface. God is love. Let's not talk about sin and so forth. But you have to. Otherwise, what happens to God is love and appreciation of that, right? Now, it's not to say we can't read books, other books for pleasure and so forth, that we can't read cookbooks. In fact, some of us probably should, right? I'm not looking at you specifically on that one. You're just right there in the line of view. You set me up on that one. That's, yes.
The scripture that was in the worship this morning, the first song.
Yes.
I learned that when I was a little tiny kid because my dad used to make us learn scripture. This is the first time it ever jumped out to me that you should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And those rivers of water are scripture. They're God's word.
Yep. That's awesome that you said that. You know, looking at Psalm 1 and the water of life too. I mean, the Word of God and how it feeds our faith and helps us produce fruit. You know, people will say, yeah, I went to Sunday school when I was young, so I don't need to hear those stories again. And it's not just the story. Those are, you know, life accounts. But what happens as we get older? They click more. I didn't think of that. You know, someone once said, there's nothing new in the Bible. I mean, we should never come out of church and say, oh, I learned something new. But yet, we should and do based on circumstances. Now, it's true, there's nothing new in the Bible. What we have is sufficient and very relevant. But we're always learning.
But it's new to us.
It's new to us, correct. Correct. There's always, right. Yeah, yeah, it's right. The Bible is never boring because there is always something new. And is, you know, when you read the Bible versus reading a novel, it's something you can't read it as fast. And as we'll get to, there's no reason to have to read it fast. So you might just take a few verses and say, wow, I'm mentally tired. You know, it just depends on what's going on. That's okay. You know, wrestle with it. And then maybe the next time you get through a whole chapter. I mean, when you're looking at, like, the Old Testament, Leviticus and Numbers and so forth, that's going to bog you down. So maybe you just take little chunks of that and then tie it up with the Gospel of John. John's a nice read. Lots of stuff in there. But a little, it's easier Greek, if you ever want to read it in Greek. Yes.
You don't read the Bible. What you could read it like as a novel. But you're skimming over a lot of really important points unless you study it.
And that's a good transition, isn't it? There is a difference between, you know, reading the Bible and studying the Bible. It's good to read the Bible to get a good overview. And just, you know, again, to stay in touch and connected, but there's also times when you want to dig deeper and study the Bible more in depth, again, individually, collectively.
I bet they don't do it anymore. When I was in college, one of my English classes was that Bible was literature.
Yeah.
Learning it, like the Psalms, the literature, it was interesting to see the, you know, literature side of it, but at the same time, you were learning. I didn't think they'd do that anymore.
Yeah, you know, 20 years ago when you were in college, I mean, that was still...
20
I didn't say that. You know, right? I mean, that's a good point. The Bible was more respected, utilized, maybe not necessarily believed, but it was utilized for something. In some circles, you'll find it used as a teaching tool. But unfortunately, the society's view of the Bible, especially in higher education, has diminished. But the first part, again, can you repeat the first part, what you said?
I'll really focus on false teaching.
Yes.
Here, and then I'll go to the Bible and try to find the answer.
Thanks for repeating that. Yeah, so when you hear false teaching, that's the importance of being in the Scriptures. Is so when you hear something, you're maybe not sure if it's off or not, but the red flag goes off. Now you go back into the Scriptures and search. Because we know, as Paul wrote by inspiration in Timothy, for example, there will be people who will find teachers to tell them what they want to hear. But you, then, he says, talking to Timothy and us, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship and so forth. So that we want people to be in the Bible. And if there's a church or a religious leader that tells you, don't read the Bible, I'll tell you what it says, you know, red flag goes up. We want people to be in the Bible, to read it, to study it, to ask questions, to grow together. So that's what we're here to do. All right, going on, ongoing renewal through God's Word. We have been brought from darkness into the light, from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. As people of God, we want to grow in our faith. We want to serve our Lord better. In short, we want the kind of ongoing renewal God's writers encourage. Because again, Christianity is a 12-hour-a-day thing, right? It's 24 hours, 7 days a week. It's not a take it or leave it. And that's why, in some respects, some people will say Christianity is not a religion. It's a lifestyle. It's a relationship, right? And we want to strengthen that relationship. Just in any, if it's a friendship, if it's marriage or whatever, you want to strengthen that relationship. You do things to strengthen it. And if you don't, what happens? Same with the Bible. We want to strengthen our relationship with God. If we don't do it, and so that's why the Lord, through the Psalms and through the Old Testament believers, impressed upon the believers then, pass on to the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. And we have to sometimes look, you know, how are we passing these truths on? God's Word is our great heritage. Well, what do our young people know about God's Word? What do we, you know, how do we practice it? Romans 12, verse 2. What does God want us to renew or transform? Our minds, right? You know, it starts out in that section, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Transform the renewing of our mind. Because remember, again, by nature, Ephesians 6 points this out, or Ephesians 2 points this out very well. We are enemies of God. We're not thinking the same way as God by nature. And so we need to transform. And that comes through the work of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean then that we should not conform to the pattern of this world? All right, you know, stick with what is true. We're not, you know, we're not necessarily we're here to argue with the world. We can have discussions with the world, but it's not our job to convert people. That's the Holy Spirit's work. We're to plant the seed of the gospel, direct them to the Scriptures. We can't force feed. You know, Jesus, too, in our readings for today, emphasized, he doesn't force people to believe. If you're going to walk away from me, well, walk away. I don't want you to. He's going to do all he can to seek and save the lost, but finally, he's not going to hold a gun to our head or break our arm. Yeah, he uses the gospel to draw us and to keep us. Sure. Yeah, you know, yeah, the truth, right? So, yeah, we're supposed to stick to the truth. What is the truth? You know, some say, we've pointed this out before, some will say there's no absolute truth, which that means that's not true, so there is absolute truth. You know, the logic of the world is illogical, right? And there is truth. 2 plus 2 is always going to equal 4.5. New math or not, it's still going to be 4, right? We know that. There is truth. And this is where some of then the cross of Christ that we have to carry, we know what truth is based on God's Word. And the proof is there over and over again. And yet someone may say, I don't believe it. And you're a fool for believing it. Well, praise God, we're with the other believers who have been called fools for hanging on to the truth of Christ. Yeah, good point. Ephesians 4, again, just for the sake of time, Ephesians 4, what needs to be made new? Again, the attitude of our minds, because again, by nature, we're focused on self, not on God, so our attitude adjustment. 2 Corinthians 4, is this renewal a one-time event or an ongoing process? It's ongoing. This is not justification. Justification, you believe or you don't, right? Sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit ongoing, growing up in our faith and growing in our ability to live for Him. And some days we're going to fall, and other days we're going to really knock it out of the park. All praise to God. But again, thankfully, our salvation is not dependent if we knocked it out of the park or not. It's already dependent on what Christ has done for us. Colossians 3, based on Romans 12 and Ephesians 4, do not tell us how to be renewed. According to Colossians, however, on what is renewal dependent? On our knowledge of God and being renewed in the image of its Creator. You know, again, back in Genesis 1, God created Adam and Eve. They were created in the image of God. What did that mean? In essence, they were perfect. They were in sync with God. And then they lost that because, again, God did not create robots, gave them the ability not to sin. But now, after the fall into sin, are we still in sync with God? We just looked at no. But through Christ, that in syncness has been restored in part, in heaven, in full. And so that renewal is dependent, again, on our connection to God and growing up. There's a reason then Peter ends his second epistle, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 20 and Ephesians 6, what do you have in your possession right now that God will use to renew you? Boom, Psalm 1, the Word, God's Word. His Word in my life. Page 3, Joan used to read the newspaper every day for a half hour or so before bedtime. Is that a good time to read the newspaper? Whether it be the online edition or in print. She started cutting that in half and spending 15 or 20 minutes reading the scriptures. Later, she commented to her husband, "You know, I seem to go to bed a lot more refreshed and at peace than I used to." And he said, "Yeah, that's true." Why do you think that was her experience? Duh. Okay. Right? I mean, the stress of the world and so forth. We need to know what's going on so that we can take the scriptures and apply it to what is going on and to know where people are coming from. But there's a time and a place for us as Christians too. And again, the people in the world, is it any wonder if this is all they have apart from the Bible, why there's stress and worry? And there's a reason why our society acted the way it has in this last year. Again, it's to be taken seriously, but how far do we, you know, we like to swing the pendulum one extreme to the other extreme. And the Bible's there meant to give us this focus of not going off the rails, but not to take it lightly either. The building blocks, Lutheran meditation. Think about what happens when we study the Bible. Psalm 119, good example. Which of the following statements best describes the action between God and a Christian when a Christian studies God's Word? A, Christian speaks to God. B, God speaks to the Christian and God speak to each other. B, God speaks to the Christian. Too often, though, right, we want to speak to God. God, listen up. We need to listen more, right? Two ears, one mouth. Number two, think about what happens when we pray. Which of the following statements best describes the action between God and a Christian when a Christian prays? A, B, or C? You could make a case for C. You can make a case for A, right? Prayer is our speaking to God. The Word is, time in the Word is God speaking to us. Both are important. If you had to rank the two, God speaking to us is key. And that's what drives our prayers then finally too. Now think of yourself reading the Bible and praying to God as you read. Which of the following statements best describes the action between God and a Christian when a Christian reads God's Word and prays? The Christian speaks to God, God speaks to the Christian and God speak to each other. boom, see, right? What is the benefit then when we read God's word and then pray in the context of our reading? As we just said, we know what and how to pray, to act, think, and so forth. We call this combination of study and prayer meditation, emphasis on the word of God and the Christian asking God for blessings that are prompted by God's will, make this kind of meditation distinctively Lutheran. In a sense, we're not looking how to make myself a better Christian. We are looking to deepen the relationship that Christ has given to us with Him, and then follows living the life that Christ has given to us. There is a distinct difference. His word in my life, you can look at that on your own again as we're trying to wrap this up. You know, there are dangers of different kinds of meditation, as it points out. Again, what are you using as the source of your meditation? You think, like in the Mormon Church, for example, the Bible isn't first and foremost. The Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Value, and so forth. The Jehovah's Witnesses, Watchtower Magazine, interpret the Scriptures for them. So we just talked about, let Scripture interpret itself.
Transcendental meditation, sort of thing. And it's dangerous because everybody in college just contemplate. They'll give you a couple of words out of the Bible or a phrase, and you contemplate on that. But what happens is you get to a point where your mind is sort of open and you don't have choice on what comes in.
Yeah, I mean, we have to be careful. We can use the same terminology, but there'll be a different definition behind it. So contemplative prayer and meditation, right? I mean, anything that takes the focus off of Christ should be the red flag again. I know we have to rush this just because we're on a schedule. But, yeah. just on page 4, Luther's method of meditation, you can look at what he said. I mean, he would take the time to pray several hours a day. Along with that prayer, though, was time in the Word of God. There's no guilt with this. You may have a plan, and you can't stick with it for one reason or another. It's adaptable. Say you set out the plan to read a chapter a day, but one day you had to go to the emergency room for a family member. You didn't get to that chapter. Don't beat yourself up. Read again. Again, in a sense, as Christians, we are to be contemplating Scripture all the time, because where's the best Bible that we can have?
Don't most readings of the Bible in a year have, let's say, 2 or 3 chapters in the Old Testament and maybe one
sure.
in the New, but you get a flavor for
both. Yep. Yeah, so again, the best Bible we have is the one we commit to memory, because we can take that with us wherever we go. And so there are study Bibles out there, 1-year Bible, 2-year Bible. And again, if you miss a day of that, so it takes you 367 days rather than 365 days. You know, again, it's not meant to be a guilt trip. And just on the bottom of the page, again, there are some things we can do as we go through Scripture. What does this mean? What does this teach me to do? What does this teach me to thank God for on page 5? What does this teach me to confess? What does this teach me to ask God for? So there are questions we can keep in mind as we take time to be in the Word to help it sink in better. So in essence, that's what Lutheran meditation is about. It keeps the focus on Christ. And on the back of that page, then page 6, you have just a read. You know, just take some time maybe today or during the week. Section of Scripture which I know little about, what I'm curious about, that would help me grow, fulfill God's work in church, help formulate a Bible plan, might be going through the catechism. Just, again, what is it that's on your heart and mind that you want to learn? And you just jog there. So when you come across that Scripture, oh, that's the one I want to highlight. Or maybe it's a friend who has some questions, write them down. Maybe don't get to them right away, but you get an opportunity to go back and say, hey, remember a month ago when we were having coffee and you brought up this question? I found a scripture passage. And then on the last two pages there, again, just reviewing Bible reading charts and so forth, kind of the same thing, asking those questions. What am I curious about? What I want to know? On the back page then, there's different Bible reading plans. You can read that on your own as we close this up. So enjoy your time in the Bible. Come up with a plan. Complement it with the People's Bibles commentaries or the People Bible series, the topics themselves. We have those available in our church library, or you can go to Northwestern Publishing House and check those out. Get a study Bible. Make notes in it. Get a second one if you'd rather not write notes in a pristine one that you have. And, you know, discuss as you can with others. So the Lord bless your time in the Word. He may help you grow in His grace and in the knowledge of that Word so that you can grow up in Him and also be faithful witnesses. Have a great day in the Lord. Thanks.